Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is March 23rd, 2014, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Shock the Monkey Tonight, Valsalva Maneuvers for Supraventricular Tachycardia. I have just returned from an amazing trip to Stockholm, Sweden. The Beam Dream team was very impressed with the high quality of evidence-based medicine being practiced in Scandinavia. It turned out to be a very enthusiastic international audience from Sweden, Norway, Germany, USA, and even Australia. Dr. Catherine Herska was a very gracious host, taught a lot of new words like fika, let me stay with her wonderful family, and ran a great Beam course. All three of us also got to speak at the main conference, SWEETS 2014. Dr. Krakow talked about pediatric emergencies, Dr. Upadhyay reviewed diving emergencies, and I had the pleasure of debating thrombolysis and acute stroke with an eminent Swedish neurologist, Dr. Asplund. The video of that debate will be posted online soon. While it was sad to leave Sweden, it is great to be back home. So let's get started with this week's episode of The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. The case scenario is a 30-year-old woman who presents for the first time with supraventricular tachycardia, or SVT. You call the cardiologist after three unsuccessful attempts to chemically cardiovert her into sinus rhythm. And the cardiologist asks you, in the nicest possible way, hey, why didn't you try the Valsalva maneuver? So the question for today's podcast is the Valsalva maneuver effective in converting supraventricular tachycardia? The citation for today's podcast is by Smith et al., Effectiveness of the Valsalva Maneuver for Reversion of Supraventricular Tachycardia. And it is a Cochrane Database Systematic Review published in 2013. Now, for some background information on this, restoring sinus can be done by the Valsalva Maneuver, drugs, or electricity. The Valsalva Maneuver represents a non-invasive way of performing this task. The Valsalva increases myocardial refractory period by increasing intrathoracic pressure, thus stimulating those baroreceptors in the aortic arch and carotid bodies. This increases vagal tone, or parasympathetic discharge. When you look at the PICO question from this Cochrane review, they were looking at 316 patients presenting with SVT from three randomized control trials. That's right, they found three randomized control trials that can be included in this systematic review. One was from Singapore, one was from England, and one was from Taiwan. Two of the studies were done in a controlled arrhythmia lab setting after patients had stopped or ceased all their usual medications. Only one of the studies involved patients presenting undifferentiated to the emergency department with an episode of SVT. The intervention was a Valsalva maneuver, and they defined this by a specific posture, either supine or supine with the legs up. So they were on their back with their legs at the same level or had their legs elevated. They were asked to strain for a duration of 15 to 30 seconds and have a pressure intraorally of a range between 30 to 50 millimeters of mercury. The comparison was standard pharmacological therapy for cardioversion of SVT. The outcome they were looking at, the primary outcome, was reversion of SVT to sinus rhythm. Side effects, cardiovascular effects, and mortality associated with the Valsalva maneuver for SVT were not reported in any of these three studies. The author's conclusions, quote, we did not find sufficient evidence to support or refute the effectiveness of the Valsalva maneuver for termination of SVT. Further research is needed, and this should include a standardized approach to the performance technique and methodology. Well, let's take a look at the checklist for this, because there is a BEAM checklist when it comes to systematic reviews, and those are available online for anyone to use now. So there are five questions in that checklist. Five. My favorite number. Question number one. Was this a clinically relevant question with an established criteria standard? Yes, the question is clinically relevant. We do see people with supraventricular tachycardia, but unfocused in terms of exact presentation of SVT. In other words, we take undifferentiated patients through the emergency department. It is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So you get varying etiology, such as a primary presentation of SVT or a recurrent or artificially induced SVT. Question number two, was the search detailed and exhaustive? Yes, this was a Cochrane review and they do a darn good job. Question number three, was the methodological quality of the primary studies assessed for common forms of bias? And the answer was yes. The authors assessed risk of bias using the Cochrane Handbook for Systematic Reviews of Intervention checklists to determine potential selection bias, performance bias, attrition bias, or detection bias. Most patients included were pre-selected, prepared, and had lab-induced SVT. Question number four, was the assessment of the studies were reproducible? Yes, they were. The fifth and final question, was there low between-study heterogeneity? No, the studies were very heterogeneous, with only one included emergency department study, and two out of the three studies had included induced SVT with prior exclusion of home medications. So when it came to the key results from this Cochrane review, with respect to the primary outcome, which again was conversion of SVT to sinus rhythm, well, the two studies that were done in the lab provided really good success rates, 54% and 46% respectively. While the third, that emergency-based study with only 62 patients, reported 12 of the 62 patients were converted successfully with the Valsalva maneuver, and that represented 19.4%. So roughly 1 in 5 patients could be converted through the emergency department with the Valsalva maneuver. Now, these results could not be pooled because of the heterogeneity between the studies. So from a critical appraisal point of view, only one of the studies included patients that presented to the emergency department with spontaneous SVT, not induced SVT. The results from the laboratory study are not applicable to the emergency department setting and does not answer the question with respect to varying Valsalva maneuver techniques. The patients with the induced SVT in the lab and who had their prior medications held do not represent the patients we see presenting to the emergency department with spontaneous SVT or primary SVT. And the authors recognize the fact that in the included review studies are limited in applications to SVT presentations. So what's the bottom line? What's the take-home message? What should you get out of this Cochrane review? Well, there is no standardized method to perform a Valsalva maneuver to terminate uncomplicated SVT that are evidence-based. So how do I apply this clinically to my setting? Well, the Valsalva maneuver is a viable technique that is poorly researched for the conversion of SVT, and should not be considered essential to attempt prior to chemical cardioversion. And it may work in up to 20% of emergency department presentations. So here's what I tell patients who present to the eMERGE with supraventricular tachycardia. We can try the Valsalva maneuver and I describe how it could be performed. And I think that's reasonable to do while we're preparing some medication to stop your rapid heartbeat. However, there's no evidence that pushing the air out through your throat against a closed mouth and nose will be effective and may work in approximately 1 out of every 5 attempts. So the Keener contest from last week, the winner was Luis Rabillo, and I hope I said your name correctly, Luis. Congratulations. He knew that I was going to be away last week teaching at Sweet Beam. So the question for this week is about the Valsalva maneuver. Now, Valsalva himself did not describe the maneuver as an attempt to convert SVT, but rather to do something else. So what I'm looking for is, what did Valsalva originally describe his maneuver to do? If you know what the original purpose of the Valsalva maneuver was, then send me an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener contest in the subject line. The first person to correctly answer the question will receive a cool skeptical prize. Now, I had an overwhelming response to the classic paper Swamy and I did on the OPAL study. Because of that great feedback, the Swamy and I are going to tackle one of the most controversial papers ever published in emergency medicine. Yes, I'm talking about the NINS trial from 1995. So Swamy and I are working away on that and hope to have that podcast up in the next few weeks. So stay tuned for the next classic episode of the SGEM. Until then, remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Talk with you next week. Shut the monkey.